Okay. That's cool. Good afternoon, lords of water polo land.
And it is, it's Lordville today. We're ready to rock and roll.
Yes. It's finals.
Man, it's finals. How exciting.
Finally in 3 years?
Yeah, first finals in 3 years.
Jeez, it's been a long time. Where do we start?
Well, I guess we should probably tell our listeners that we're talking about the Australian Water Polo League finals. We do have a significant international audience, so good that they know what we're talking about. But this is the episode that people have been waiting for, right?
I want to see what a country is. Oh, I can't do it. What country? Do you know what's the international country besides Australia? What's the?
We get a lot of US.
USA.
We get a few Chileans.
Chile. Cool.
Quite international. But Maren, a lot to get through today.
Yes. Exciting. Finals have started yesterday.
Well, officially the finals start tomorrow. So it's been the WA Challenge the last couple of days, which has already seen some awesome polo. But finals start as we record this, which is Thursday afternoon. Finals start tomorrow, Friday.
So the top six teams. Playing off. Well, top six teams are through. Two teams that finished 1 and 2 during regular season are in the semi-finals waiting.
Yep.
And then the winners of tomorrow's games.
Yep. Play in the
semi-finals.
On Saturday. So a little bit of a different format, which I kind of like.
I do like it.
Very different from some of the series that we played in way back when.
Yeah.
Do you remember when we used to have those little, like the 3-game series?
That was.
There was a 2-game, and then if it was a draw, you played that little mini game?
That was. I hated that so much. It was so, like, pressure. Whether you win the first game or lose the second game, it was always so stressful. And then, yeah, if you lose the first game, win the second one, then you know you got to get up literally a few hours later to play the third game.
And then you kind of got the momentum going to that third game. Yeah. So.
But as much as I hate it as a player, now from coaching point of view as a fan, I think it's awesome.
Well, it's so different to this series. Like, because you look at Wests or one of the teams that finished first or second, who I've got here in front of me. So if you're one of them, you go straight through, you got 2 games to win.
Yeah.
To win the final. But if you drop that one, so if you've got West, Drummoyne, or in the girls, the Queensland or Balmain, they've only got to win 2 games.
Yeah.
2 finals games. That's what it comes down to.
I like it because you get rewarded for being most consistent team during the season. So I like the format. I like it because, well, I like the fact that WA actually got the chance to play or get a spot in the finals. I do like it that you get awarded for being consistent team, as I said before. And then, there's pressure left, right and centre.
But it's good. And it's good that that trying to work out a system that works with the WA border not being open for the majority of the season, so many different variables. Like, is it perfect? Probably not, but it's pretty good.
I like it. Because even if maybe you dropped a few games during the season, you do get a half a chance to still make it through, which is a very tough road. Like, I mean, the WA teams, like, it's tough to win in New South Wales for international listeners. It is a bit of a road trip, and how many time zones? Is it one time? Or it's 3 hours difference, which adds up. Like, it takes time to adjust that, and then you're playing generally in a random time. So it's hard, and then expected to win how many games? The W team would have had to win
2 games. So win yesterday and today.
2.
Then go on to play in the quarterfinal, 3rd game, semifinal, 4, and then the grand final.
Yeah, so 5 games, tough ass, but there's a chance, it's possible, yeah. So.
What for you makes this finals special?
Oh, so many things. Well, first of all, I'm stoked that we get to see the finals and watch the finals after 3 years of what's been going on. The 3 years ago, I think we went into lockdown literally just as the regular season finished, or might have been a week or 2 weeks to go. So it was kind of just so random. And so for many teams, it was so many, like, it was such an unfinished business. So excited for the players involved to see them to actually play. I think if I was in their shoes, it would have been so hard to keep motivated, to keep training, to keep going. Like, what, you know, the last 3 years of lockdowns and, you know, having to train at home and not swimming, and it's just rough. So excited just to watch it, excited to, you know, see players just enjoy it and hopefully get into it. What about you?
Totally agree on that. First final since 2019, so it's going to be unreal to see how all the teams are playing, how they're going. But also it's a chance for all the young stars to really kind of step up. Like, you look at both the women's and the men's national teams, there's been a significant change, right? There's been a lot of players, a lot of the top players from the previous cycle have stopped playing. So you've got these great players coming through. We talked about in the last podcast about your with your team and some of the great players that played over in who are starting to make a name for themselves on international. But we haven't seen them play here.
Yeah, like, totally.
We haven't seen them hit their straps here. Like, sort of the Holdens, the Charlie Negus. Yeah. Now, I do have to fact check. Last time I got his name wrong.
George Negus.
A political reporter of high esteem. Charlie Negus. Great player with the West Club. Let's just make sure we've got that clear, all right?
Thanks Big for difference. Clarifying it.
Just thought we'd fact check. I did get pulled up on it.
Yes.
Did get pulled up on it, but Charlie Negus and George Negus, very different people.
Are they in the same age bracket at all, or what's that?
Oh, probably about 50 years difference.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a fair mistake.
Yeah,
you know, fair mistake.
Sorry, Charlie.
But also great to see how McJanet comes back and plays, how Poot comes back and plays. So these guys who have come back from getting great international experience, how does that compare? And in the girls, team, you've also got some great young players coming through. But then you've got the competition between the old bulls playing. So you've got your in the last couple of games, you've got Reece Howden and Billy Miller are the highest goal scorers. Then you've got Jono Cottrell, Anthony Martin. Is AJ and Tyler playing? I saw they're on the team list. Are they going to?
I say they'll play. They were on playing throughout the season, so I imagine they'll cap up.
Then put in Mitch Emery, Danny Lawrence. Like, how are these younger guys going to go against the experience of those players? And that's what I'm really looking forward to seeing, how that West team, which is probably a bit of a mix of both, got a lot of those good young players coming through, plus a couple of seniors, against a Des Moines team that, again, similar kind of balance. You've got the both Edwards brothers playing, but then if you've got your Tyler and AJ, and who, you've got to remember, the last final series is when they were the red hot favourites, should have won by a country mile. And got done by West in the final.
Gee, they were fit that year, though, strong.
They were fit, but just at the end, they just didn't seem to have the strength and conditioning. I'm not sure why or how. But then they come, so they're coming back. And that whole Des Moines team's changed dynamics, but they've got that experience to it. So I'm really looking forward to if it does come down to those two. But I also think that if this Balmain team can get through on Friday, I think they've got a good crack at West on the Saturday night in that final. So I'm looking forward to seeing
derby.
That. But then in the girls' field, you've got Queensland, who have just been so dominant the whole year. Like, they've got pretty much a state team playing in a national competition against all these different club sides, and they've got such a good team. But then can someone come and beat them? Can Balmain finally break the bridesmaids' title and actually beat them? So that's what I'm looking forward to. But just in general, I just love the excitement of a finals. You've got you've got a bit more of a crowd, but you've got the increase of intensity and increase in pressure on each game and each moment. But also just all the teams coming together. I know they've done it pretty well this year, had those kind of round robins where you've got all the teams playing at the same pool. Yeah. But this is just that on almost on steroids. Nice. And the finals, under the finals fever, I get excited about it.
No, I can feel it in your voice. So do we know who's playing what, who and when?
Yep. Do you want to go through some teams to start with?
Let's go.
Actually, before we get into teams,
yes.
Before we go into that, for you, what wins finals? What wins finals games, and then what wins championships? What do you want to see before we dig into these teams and these games? What do you want to see, and what do you think is going to be the difference?
So I think a lesson that you and I got when we played our first finals, and I think the lesson that a lot of young juniors are going to get is it's a different water polo. It's just like you sort of go through your regular season and, yeah, you're going good and you're playing really good water polo near the end. But literally there's something random that happens when the finals happen. The level just goes up. Like it just, yep. It's so random. And it just the mistakes that maybe you got away with during the season and there weren't maybe that bigger mistakes. Maybe you dropped the ball. Maybe I gave it a bad pass. It was literally maybe 2 meters off to the side. You missed the block. That's it. Like that's like, yeah. That's 10x in the finals. Yeah. That's costs you literally a medal. And that's where the intensity pressure comes.
Yep.
So to answer your question, consistency, lift. You got to lift. That said, just do the basics right. So minimize those mistakes and lift. Generally in the finals. You always have one or two players in each team that really step up. You don't know who they are. They could be a superstar that's been playing solid all season through, but it could be someone that just comes off the bench and just earns a spot and ends up being the MVP of the finals. So,
yeah, look, my thoughts are pretty similar in terms of – so what wins it? You've got to be happy to play in the grind.
Yeah.
Right, you've got to be able to play at that intensity, not an 8, you're playing at a 9, playing at a 9 or 10 for 4 quarters, but you've got to be happy just to go back and forth and get into the flow of the game. But also, everyone's got to play their role, right? It's all well and good for someone to stand up when the moment comes, but everyone needs to be there and be really clear on what their role is. Are you marking up on their number one player and you want to be defensive? Do you need to make sure that you're doing your movement in attack, movement in defence? Because if you try for that one out play and it doesn't work because of the level of pressure that you're playing under, that's an easy goal the other way. So you've got to make sure that you don't give the opposition any easy chances. And that might be an easy goal, but that it might be an easy swim. You've got to make sure you maintain that pressure and be happy to come back and forth in the grind of the game. If you get one or two behind, don't stress about it. Don't try and overplay it. Use the time in the game to come back on it. Be comfortable in the uncomfortable of the game. Right? Then there are always going to be those players who can create opportunities when required. I think that's really, really important. And when you look at some of the team lists, they've all got those players that can do it. And at times we probably struggled for that player who could score an easy goal. I don't think I can look back and we didn't score too many easy goals in any of our games.
If
you look at someone like a Danny Lawrence, he can jag an easy goal.
Sam McGregor,
Sam McGregor was able. He scored them against us, Sam McGregor.
That's what I know.
Kovalenko.
Kovalenko was a free.
Like the Jamie Beedsworth, these guys could easily just get the ball and throw it in the goal and it changed the dynamic and the tempo of the game. So, and I think that's key. Players that can score clutch goals, and a clutch moment isn't necessarily with 30 seconds to go, we need a goal to score. It might be a goal to change momentum of a game. It might be an exclusion that changed with momentum in the game, because very easily in finals, the momentum swings can be quite major and teams can run away with it. We've been on the receiving end of that sometimes, and if you do let those moments, and you got to pick your moments. I guess
quite often in finals, I don't have stats to back it up. But if you let the soft goal go in an end of the second quarter, it's like letting 3 goals in.
Yep.
There's something about it.
Yep.
Whoever scores the last goal, the goal to maybe take you 1 up, 2 up, or equalize it. End of the second quarter, for some reason, it's worth so many points. And in finals, especially kind of the semi-final, grand final, the game's literally not over till it's the last whistles. How many times have you seen finals win the first quarter, it's a blowout, second quarter pull out, and a team comes back?
Yeah, they put the bench on, they're going to go, oh, we'll give everyone a swim, we'll put our second goal in. Isn't that the worst thing to do?
Yeah, but to put a bench in as well, I also think, and this is where the strength conditioning, coaching has a big part to play, and maybe going back to what you asked me before, you can probably make the finals by just using your top seven players, but you can't win the finals with the top seven players.
And I think, but that might be the difference between one of those teams that finished first or second this year.
Yeah.
You can probably get away with 9 or 10. If you've only got to win two games, you don't need to have the 13, 14, 15 players that you would have when you were playing a six-team final series where you're playing two games against each team.
Yeah.
You do need depth, but I don't think you need the 13 anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the point, till someone gets injured.
I completely agree. And that's why the best teams have to be adaptable.
Yeah. I think my point being is generally teams that win a comp, like if you can't spread the team, you look at a bench. And it's like, it's a bit like a rugby league. Like if you can't, like if they all match up on the field, you look who's sitting on the bench, and whoever's got a stronger bench generally is going to win.
Totally. And especially with any season, it's about who can minimise the injuries and who can have the strongest bench the whole way through.
And what I mean by strong bench, meaning condition, played minutes, can fill in the role quite comfortably versus a gap between your sixth field player and seventh field player. So
I think I was there when Dennis was having the chat with you. He was like, Maren, it does come down to the 13th player in the pool.
Yeah.
As if the 13th player is stronger than their 13th player, then we're a good chance of winning.
And he was also saying something about close the gates.
Shut the gates. Shut us down.
I wasn't sure if he was telling me to only to clean up after a game.
I think either or would have been good.
That's good. So, who do you like?
Who do I like? Look, I'm really interested to see how far the Queensland men's team can go. You look at how well Billy and Reece have played in these last two games. Coming up against the Sydney Uni team, that's pretty well balanced now. Yeah. I think at the start of the season they had a fair few players out. But now they've got a lot of them back in, and so you've got a lot of experience with Goran and John O'Cotrell, but then you've got these young players who are away with your team last week who bring back this awesome experience. So how are the McJanets, the Poots going to go with an Anthony in goals? So
how do you feel about Thunder as a water polo mascot, or just Thunder mixing with water? Or
It's not great. Because most of the time, whenever there's thunder and lightning, you've got to stop play.
I mean, AC/DC song, you can easily pick the good song to as a team song. No, I agree. I think Queensland, and I'm sure just like any Queensland team, there'll be a flu, there'll be corona running through the team, they'll back up.
Yep.
Everyone's against them. But gee, they've got some good players.
They've got some great players. Yeah. With Porter in goals, Reece, Billy, Anthony Martin, Marcus, the young fella that's in the national team at the moment. Great, well-balanced. Like, most of the teams are great and well-balanced.
Mm.
So it'd be interesting to see, with them, because they have gone through that WA challenge, how does fatigue come into play with them?
Oh, I think it definitely does. And, you know, this is why you do all the training and strength conditioning and swimming to be able to back it up game after game. I think obviously the challenge for them is just what I mentioned before. You know, they would have experienced the pressure of having to win the first two games, but the level goes up again. So who are they playing next? Are they going to play either Balmain or Uni? Yeah, so
Thunder play Uni.
Yeah, so the meeting a pretty fresh Sydney University team who's also pretty stacked. Where are they?
Anthony in goals.
Anthony, Goran, they got
a couple of McJanets.
Centre forwards, left hander. I mean, they got a great team. So, a lot of experience, a lot of young flair. So, yeah, they're gonna. I'll say they'll go into the game as an underdog. That said,
That's where they like it, right?
Yeah, and traditionally Queensland does really well as underdog.
And how do some of these, the players who are currently in the national team, how do they go against a Reece or a Billy?
Well, yeah, and look, I think that's what national team coaching staff is going to be looking at, is how do you match up against those guys?
Because they're smart players. Yeah. Even if they don't know how prepared they are for it, they'll still be fit. Like, they're just naturally fit, competitive players, and they're smart players.
And even, like, I mean, what they're lacking potentially, maybe fitness, and maybe they lost a bit of speed, which I don't reckon.
I don't
but
think Reece is going to lose much
speed. No, but what they lack there, they make up on experience.
Yeah, they're half a yard ahead already. Yeah, so experience.
And it'll be interesting to see how they play. I imagine going against Sydney Uni, they're going to have to play more of a mobile game, which suits them.
But even like Mardo on Goran, that's a good contest. Like, if you play him at Mardo at centre back against Goran, then that's a pretty good contest. So that means that they can play more of a press in front, whereas not many teams can do that with a Goran.
Yeah, that's true.
So
yeah.
Yes, they'll be mobile. Yes, they'll have to adjust. But they can play more of a full-on, because a couple of very good centre backs in that team.
Yeah, so it's going to be an exciting game. It's going to be...
I think if we had to tip on it, I'd probably say Sydney Uni coming in fresh. They've probably got more, we were talking about before, they've got probably got more depth.
Yeah.
They probably go more to a 9-12 rather than...
Yeah, and I think potentially it's going to be quite a high-scoring game. Mm-hmm. So I think Thunder's going to have to maybe... They might have to expose themselves a bit to score the counter at the goals. Anyway, I think it'd be a high scoring game. I think it'd be, I don't think it'd be a huge defensive affair. I think it's going to be a lot of ejections, a lot of swimming.
Yeah, and I guess that's with a lot of the, like with the Reece and the Billy, they're happy to play a risk versus reward kind of a game.
Yeah, no, totally. I think they'll, so I guess if I was Queensland, I would. Yeah, definitely play more of a mobile game and being very smart and not let Sydney Uni get into their structure.
Yep.
But if I'm a Sydney Uni camp, obviously you got to pay attention to Reece and Billy and not expose yourself to the counter. Just.
But then if they do overplay on them, they've got these good young kids like Marcus coming through that can cause some trouble for them.
Ah, much curious. I mean, it's going to be curious to see. I got no idea what to expect. It'll be interesting.
The other game tomorrow night, Tigers back in the finals.
Well, yeah, so that's kind of, I guess, special game for you and I because, yeah, Tigers, you know, not to sound like the All Black, but, you know, we played a lot of finals for Tigers and then we sort of had a pretty big dry spell. So... Credit to the club, Nate Thomas, Damien, and all the young players that put in the work, and all the old players that stuck around to, get back into the finals footy.
But it should be good. And, like, they've got a good balanced team as well. Clarkie and Goals are going to have an absolute blinder tomorrow night. Matt Wilson at centre forwards.
Who are Tigers playing? Playing Sharkies.
So they split them during the year. Yeah. Second game they ran away with it. But Sharkies are coming in with a bit of form. And I guess that's another thing. Like the fact that Balmain, they played, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, their last game up in Hunter. So they've had a couple of weeks without game. Mm. I'm sure they've been having scrimmages. I'm sure training's been pretty good, but there's nothing like game. So when Cronulla now, they're 3 days into the finals.
Yeah.
They've got the feel for it. They've got the groove for it. Whereas Balmain coming in a little bit fresh. But that should be another great contest. But Tigers here. You've got Clarke in goals. Matt Wilson's been having a blinder this year, playing really well. Danny Lawrence is clutch player. Jordan's been scoring some pretty good goals from the left-hand side. Then you've got those young players you mentioned coming through. So your Joels, your Daniel Monks. Should be a very good game.
Yeah, and I think, so if I got a Balmain hat on, you need to really... pay attention to a Cronulla style of water polo game, but really the player to watch is going to be Miloš Maksimović, who's been a big player for Cronulla, and I think first time Balmain played him, I think he put six past him. So they'll need to pay attention to him. Yeah, so that's if I'm looking at from Balmain's point of view. If I'm looking from Cronulla's point of view, they need to score the goals early on James Clark. I think they need to put a shots away on James, because if they shoot a few goals at him, they're going to have a long...
He gets his confidence up.
Yeah, they're going to have... And James, he's our mate, and he's been, you know, a guest on the podcast. One thing with James, he can have a really shocking game, but then he can be the best goalkeeper in the world. E.g., when you watch him play against Croatia, and just
phenomenal.
They could not score past him, and it was just such a weird thing to watch that happen. So James got in him, and I think Cronulla need to get James guessing. So, and I guess goes back to the rest of the Balmain team. If they don't get a blocks up, if they let few through to the James and James starts to have to guessing for the blocks, that's going to be really key for Cronulla. So I guess if you're Cronulla, you want to make sure you're putting your shots away and not lazy shots. But again, another game that's it's hard to, I'm definitely only backing this game on heart, not my head. Yeah, it'd be an interesting one.
So then, okay, so let's say Sydney Uni and Tigers go through there. So then they come up against, so Drummoyne will then play Sydney Uni and Tigers will play Wests. So let's talk through the Drummoyne team.
Yeah, I mean, Drummoyne team is on paper very, very stacked.
On paper, they're the team to beat. On paper.
Yeah,
I know Wests haven't lost a game, and you watch them play and their depth and... They seem a class above, but on paper, Drummoyne in the team.
If you measure it on Olympic caps, Drummoyne, I mean, they got Lockie Edwards, they got his brother Blake, Aiden, Mitchell.
His brother Blake, current captain of the national team. Yeah, it goes all right.
Tyler.
Yeah.
So there's a fair few Olympians in the squad. And then from there, you got players that that they haven't made it to Australian team, but they were very close. I'm not sure if Sammy's going to be playing, but you know, you got Slobo, who's fighting for a spot in the current team. Yeah. You got Lazar with lots of experience playing USA and Montenegro. It's just, you know, Leo Hurley, who's played for Australian Uni team. John Hunt's probably not going to be playing. I'd say Harry will be in goals for sure.
How's Harry go? Because a big thing in winning finals, goalie has to play well. Not just saving balls, but also communicating. They need to set their defence. They need to run their defence. How's he go compared to because you look at the other goalkeepers.
Harry needs to talk. So he'll, and like any goalkeeper as well, the talking will come if they get a few early blocks. If the field players get a few blocks, they'll start talking. What none of the goalies, especially Harry, who's generally pretty quiet person, he can't fall in a hole of not talking.
Yep.
I look at all the goalkeepers that play in the finals. They're all good. Mm. Like they're all, you know, Sam Kokkiosis. What a bit of a Greek representation. Is he? I want to say Kokkianis, so he's a tennis player. Sam and Anthony, a bit of Greek background. John.
And now, just on Sam, Sam's scored more goals than any other goalkeeper.
I think he's got a record for the most goals scored by a goalkeeper.
He's 7-on-5 plays a key feature of their game, isn't it?
Yeah, so, yeah.
Sorry, I digress.
Yeah, so you asked me about Harry Shaw. Yeah, so I think Harry, he's due for a big season series. He's also playing for a spot in the national team, so he'll want to impress, and he needs a solid game the finals.
How do they match up against a Sydney Uni team?
Yeah, well, that's so saying
who
that Sydney Uni goes through.
How does that?
Interesting. I mean, Jamal's got a luxury of Lockie Edwards, who at international level does an amazing job of taking the best in the world, and you saw it against Croatian Olympics. Yeah. be able to play a centre back to centre forward role, which Goran does not deal with really well.
That'd be your play against Uni, right?
Yeah. You want to make sure Goran doesn't – you want to make it hard, as hard as Goran as possible. So when he's playing on a 2 metre, he's not fresh.
And because then if you're doing that, if you're making him go 2-2, then Sydney Uni is going to be looked to switching that, right?
Yeah.
And as soon as they start moving and trying to do different things in defence, that's when Mitch is going to get free. When Blake's going to get free. Like they've got players that can create things out of nothing.
You also got luxury of Tyler Martin as a centre-back as well. So for Goran or if Sydney Uni starts to play Goran and Tom, in the same time, you know, like the Jamoin can well match that.
So pretty handy they've got two international centre forwards. Who starts there?
For Sydney Uni?
Sydney Uni, yeah.
I've got no idea how they're going to do it.
Tom's obviously a current national team player. Goran played at the Olympics.
Yeah, if I was coaching Sydney Uni, I'd probably start with Goran and have Tom off the bench. Give Goran first explosive 2 minutes, hopefully earns a couple of easy kickouts, and then get him out and then get Tom to finish off the quarters. So I'll probably go with something like that. So always have Goran fresh and give you explosive 2 minutes for Jag your goal and fair few kickouts, and then Tom to do his thing. So that's what I would do if I was coaching that team, if I had those two in my team. What would you do?
Yeah, not too dissimilar. But yeah, I guess you'll see how they feel. And probably you've got the ability to mix it up a little bit.
Yeah.
And so sometimes you might be like, well, actually, we want to get into the grind early. So that's where you might want a Tom to be able to go back and forth a few times. I guess depends on what you want to do at the start of the game. Yes, you want to maybe early exclusions, but early exclusions are usually difficult to score because the other team's defence is fresh.
The thing is, though, just as Jamoin has the luxury of having Lockie to go 2-2, that can also reverse because you can put Lockie on early ejections as well. So then you got your starting centre forward, which is not I mean, if you had Lockie at early foul trouble, then you just replace him with Tyler and then have Marco and Lockie rotate in the centre forward. And obviously Sydney Uni is going to have to be very, very careful with Blake Edwards because what he does international level, he's going to be doing here as well. He's going to be really mobile. He's going to be getting a lot of kickouts. And him and AJ Roach have a very good combination. So AJ's going to be looking for him the whole game. And then you got, even Mitch Emery, who's going to be looking for just giving a really good pass on the opposite side. So if you end up having it at AJ and Blake on the on right-handed driver side, it's going to be very dangerous and hard to defend. So, it's going to be a great game.
Jamoin to win?
Oh, I can't. I just don't. Like, if you're asking me to... Because, you got John Cottrell in Sydney Uni team, who is... Yeah. We spoke about a player that can step up and give you an easy goal. He's one of those players. He can shoot the ball really well.
And especially against... we're talking about Harry is still a junior goalkeeper,
right? And even Chris Dyson, he can jag one. Like, so it's very hard. Like, I mean, I'm going to go I'm literally going Jamoin just because got a bit more connection with them.
Nice.
That's the...
All right. Then on to the West Balmain game. Now, if we go through the West team, so lots of great West juniors.
I love how you just assume that's going to be the...
What's the... We're doing the bracket, right? Cool. Right? So, but anyway, this West team. So, if we talk about, look, their junior programs obviously brought through so many great juniors. So, if we go through them, so John Hedges, know he's from Melbourne, isn't he?
WA.
WA, yeah, cool. James Guilfeather.
Yeah.
I know he's Melbourne, isn't he? Connor Hoolahan?
Hold on, time out. I'm going to play devil's advocate here. You can't play this because if you go through a Balmain team,
I'm not saying they are.
I'm just saying, like, you can't play this game.
But you've got Connor. You've got Charlie Negus, junior. Nathan Power.
Oh, mate.
Newcastle. Tim Putt, West Australia. Jared Gilchrist. Victoria. Reece Holden. Cronulla. Matt Burns, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. West, yeah. From West, yep. Sam Negus, same. Matt Murphy and Mike DeGale, yep, definitely. Angus Lammy, great Cronulla junior. Do you want me to go on?
Mate, but you can't. Like, you literally cannot do this. Because if you go through a Balmain team, James Clark, yes.
Born and bred here.
Yes. Kieran James. Matt Wilson.
Mate, England is a very close part of Balmain.
It's raining. Okay.
Mate, Matt Wilson. Canberra, definitely part of the Balmain Shire.
Harry Balmain. Yes. Joel Balmain. Smith, yes. Sam Hughes. Central Coast Mariners.
Always played with Balmain.
Yeah. No, he played for Lobsters. Central Coast Lobsters. Lobbies, I think.
He always played with us.
Yeah. Mitch Robbo.
Yep.
Nick Taylor.
Mick Taylor.
Balmain.
Balmain. Daniel Monk. Balmain Jr.
Jordan.
Question mark. Sam. Question Jr. Mark. We've got a few.
Mate.
We've got a few.
I mean, look, to be fair, I see your point, but every club's the same. Like, I mean, if you go through Sydney Uni, I mean, what's your point? What are you trying to say?
Not really making one. Yeah.
It's just...
It's a pretty good... It is a pretty good team. What Andrew's been able to put together is a very, very good team.
Yeah.
Very well balanced, good juniors coming. All these young kids prove themselves and they've got the depth coming down. Like, when we played against West last time, Jared Gilchrist didn't come in until the second quarter.
Mm.
What a luxury to have.
Oh, yeah. And again, for some players, there may be... I mean, so he's the type of player and those guys that they will understand how finals is a different ball game and they will live for it. And, yeah, it's...
But I think that should be a really interesting game. Whoever gets Wests on that Saturday night...
Mm.
So you've obviously got to beat West to win the final.
Yeah.
Right? If you get them on that Saturday night...
Yeah.
I think it's better than getting them on the Sunday. West have an ability to play to the level of the game that they need to, especially in finals. Yeah.
I think against West, you really need to pay attention to Nathan Power. He'll score a lot of goals this final series or two games he plays on the post.
Yep.
And it's hard because you also got then...
We got Tim Putt.
Charlie and Tim Putt. So, yeah, I mean, you got three players that are fresh off playing some good international water polo. But
we were talking before about players that can score easy goals, and Jared's one of those.
Yeah, and look, if I put my national hat on, I would really, really hope and I predict that players that went to Peru will be better. Like, as in, they'll be better than they were.
Definitely.
Like, they'll bring back the intensity, the stuff they learn playing, you know, international water polo. So.
And you'd be looking at them to stand up here. Like, this is where you're totally. Probably looking at it and going, okay, well, yes, they've come back. They've got more experience. They are better players. But now how do they play in this environment?
You want to bring the stranger to the finals and them to be able to go, oh, okay, he must play for national team. Like that.
He looks
that,
like a national team player.
Yeah, like it's yeah. If you don't stand out, like, well, then
yeah, like you don't want to watch ideal. That game and then go, oh, okay, that Matt Wilson was an awesome centre forward. You're like, well, hold on. I don't know, our centre back should have been.
It's exciting.
So that's good.
Mm.
And then Sunday, crack of a final.
Yeah, so obviously, bookies will say Drummoyne West, you think?
Yeah, right. Well, they'd have to. Like, you'd have to. Like, you look at the form throughout the season, you look at the teams on paper, that's who it is. But like we're saying, there could be a couple of dark horses there.
Oh,
there's 100%. No reason why Queensland can't go on a bit of a run, knock out Sydney Uni, then knock out Drummoyne. There's no reason why Balmain can't win against Sharks and then West on the Saturday night.
I'm going the other way around. Sydney Uni going on a run.
Yep.
So.
I think that's awesome. But girls' team, girls' comp's going to be a cracker as well.
Do you think that's going to be a bit closer than the men's?
Oh, I think Queensland's going to be really, really hard to beat.
Yeah.
I think they've got a really, really strong team. They've got, we were talking before about teams that have balance. That team's got it all over.
Mm.
They've got some really experienced players in there. Then they've got some really good young juniors coming through. Great goalkeeper who's going to call the shots there. So I think they've, on paper, they've got such a good team. So it'll be interesting to see how everyone goes against them. But you look at some of these other teams and there's some great players and there's some great teams.
Yeah.
I think the Balmain team's been really good this year. I had a swim with them on Sunday.
Oh, yeah?
Actually jumped in, had a swim.
Where did you swim?
Asheville Pool.
Had
a training game against them.
Oh, yeah? How'd you go?
I struggled.
Yeah?
I struggled. I've forgotten how much I'd loved playing polo.
Yeah.
Like, I think the last time I'd actually jumped in and threw a ball around was probably the same time last year. But it was good fun.
So you're going to cap up next year?
On a lower grade.
Yeah.
Are you going to play?
We'll see what happens. See what contract.
You say that every year. You say that every year. But yeah, so it's going to be really interesting to see how that sort of plays out. And again, it's when you're going to win two games.
Mm.
And that Balmain team's got really good balance as well. Katie Dudley's centre forward, really, really good player. She can play in attack. She can play well in defence. Jen, great goalkeeper. Again, similar to the boys' field, it's going to be who goalkeepers need to play well. They need to talk to their defence, play good, solid defence.
Yeah.
And it's also the players, and we probably didn't cover this enough off in the boys, it's the players who can take control of relevant situations and can see what's in front of them and play it, rather than just going through the motions. Actually, okay, this is what's in front of me and I've got to adapt how the game is playing and take control of the game in that given situation. And I think that's hard to do. But there's players in each of these teams that can do that. So your Maddie Schmitz, obviously Bron Knox in the Queensland team, they've got the ability to see what's in front of them and play polo.
So in the women's team, we got Sharkies through.
Yep.
And Fremantle are through. So they're the teams that play the extra. So they're going to be – so Cronulla Shark women's team are meeting – So who are the top two teams waiting?
So top two teams, Queensland and Balmain.
Yeah. Okay. So they're waiting the winners of Cronulla Sharks, Fremantle, Mariners.
Yep. So those games just as we're recording this, they've just finished, haven't they?
Yeah, so I think Cronulla went through and Fremantle went through.
So Cronulla Uni and do you want to look it up while you're there?
Yeah.
Don't want to get our facts wrong.
The computer's not working. Oh, here we go. What am I looking at?
What do you want to see? Australian Water Polo, AWL.
Bit of dead noise now. Australian AWL.
So this is what happens when we're trying to do things live. You know, this is how cutting edge we are.
Ah. Okay, where am I going now? Match Centre?
Yep, Match Centre.
Da-na-na, da-na-na. Fixtures and results?
Yep. That's Youth Championship, scroll to the bottom.
Australian Water Polo League Finals?
Yep.
Stats?
You can just go to the game.
Friday? Friday, here we go. Nope, it's not updated.
All right, that makes it difficult.
No, it's feedback to Australian Water Polo, website people. Let's see if it's happy. Oh, it could be user error as well, so I'm not going to throw stones.
All right, anyway, let's...
that was good.
Yeah, that was good. Good chat. good podcasting. You'd think we'd be better at this after 30-odd episodes. But look, Sydney Uni, great team on paper. A few really good experienced players with some good young players coming through. So you've got Keisha Gophers, couple of Olympics now.
Yeah.
Then you've got really good players like Sienna Green, who's just broken into the national team.
Now Buckley.
Yep, exactly. So I think they'll be good. Again, how will they go against one of the teams who's had to play a couple of games? The depth will really come into account there. And with Cronulla, they've got some good experienced players. Jana Leisman, Lena Mihailovic.
Yeah.
So, safety.
And a lot of those players are still playing for the spots for world champs as well. So,
yeah.
So, there's going to be players that played in Peru. And it'll be players that just missed out on it. It'll be, pretty close. They'll be wanting to prove the point. And just like on the men's side, there'll be a few spots for grabs. Well, sorry. There potentially could be spots for grabs. So,
yeah. And then with the Fremantle team, a lot of experience in there. So Lillian Hedges in goals, but then Glencora McGee, a couple of Neeshams, Zoe Arancini, who played with Drummoyne throughout the series, but throughout the year, now back playing with Fremantle because
The
loan system. Again, great that she's actually played.
Oh, totally.
We've had the top players playing throughout the season and now playing in the finals. So that will be good, but really, I think Queensland's going to be the team to beat.
You love the Queenslanders.
They haven't lost a game all year.
Fair enough.
They're a very good team. But I do think that a couple of these teams can give them a crack.
No, I agree.
Especially the Balmain team.
Well, yeah, both men's and women's team. So the Sydney Uni, Balmain, West. Have the both. No, West don't have a men's and women's team in finals.
No, nope. Drummoyne.
Des Moines. Sharks?
Yeah.
So it's not as special.
No.
Oh, good for those clubs. Yeah, strong chat. Strong men and women.
Good for New South Wales water polo.
Yeah.
All right, so who are your standout players? Who is going to be your MVP at the end of the season? End of the.
All right, I'm going to start with women's because that's the sheet in front of me.
Yep.
I'm going to go MVP. Gonna put my money on who's gonna be MVP. I'm gonna go Hannah Buckley, just because I like how she played in Tokyo Olympics. And yeah,
boys.
Oh,
right. I'll do girls first. Katie Dudley's gonna be my MVP.
Oh yeah, it's a good one. Is Hannah even playing for him?
Don't know, mate. Do your research.
I guess she might be on the scene. Well, that's going to be awkward. All right, men's. All right. Who am I picking? Men's or finals? Who'd you pick? You picked Balmain, person, eh?
For the women,
women's,
I did.
Women's, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
For the men, mate, Captain Courageous.
Daniel Lawrence.
No, Blake Edwards.
Oh, you're on Blake train.
Mate, he had a blinder over in Peru.
Yeah.
He's captain coach of the Drummoyne team. He's basically going, you know what, we finished second last time. We can do it better. He's taken over control of that. He's going to have a blinder.
Okay. I'm going to throw a random one out.
Go on.
No, I won't. I'm going to stick to smart choice. I was going to say James Clark, but I'm going to go Nathan Powers.
So we've gone the two national team captains.
Yes, we did. Yeah. Oh, that's probably fair. That's probably, that was not planned.
So
but
we've really gone out on a limb, haven't we? We've talked, about there's going to be a young kid that's going to come through.
You did.
Come out in lights and be absolutely amazing. And then we're going, the two national team captains.
All right, we'll go James Clark then. But even though I'm really going Nathan Powers, but just for random one, just for a bit of value, I'm going to go James Clark.
Mate, he's going to have a blinder.
Yeah.
Friday night. Pimble, he's going to have an
Shut the gates.
Shut the gates.
Or shut the, what is it? What did Dennis used to say? Shut the.
Shut us down, mate.
Shut us down. Shut us down, Clarkie. Shut us down. He was the first guest, too.
He was the first guest.
Yeah, so yeah, I'm going for Clarkie. Big odds. Bit of value.
He's had an up and down episode, this one, hasn't he?
James Clark.
Yeah.
Just
you've given it to
just
him.
Like his, just like his season. I wonder if he listens.
But, mate, awesome. How good. Pretty pumped to get out there tomorrow night. And
yeah, I'll see you tomorrow night. You're driving?
Mate, you are.
Okay. I'll pick you up.
Thank you, mate.
Ciao.
Ciao, ciao.